So we've been looking at our core values all this year, and the core value that we're looking at this morning on contending for the supernatural. That's a part of this church that is so important, that we love the power of God. When we have services, we believe that God shows up. Now, he shows up in different ways on different occasions. Sometimes it's very out there, very demonstrative, spiritual manifestations, all of that. Other times it's quite contained and conservative. But God can show up in any way he wants in this church. Amen? And that's part of the vibe of the tribe of this church, is why this church is as it is. You know, sometimes over the years, and it doesn't happen so much these days, but over the years, people have said things like, you know, we just love the atmosphere at Bayside Church, but we really wish that there weren't spiritual manifestations. And let me tell you, folks, you don't get one without the other. The reason this church has the vibe, has the dynamic that it has, is because of the Holy Ghost, because he has allowed freedom in our midst to do what he wants to do. And you don't get one without the other. Today and next week, I want to look at something that's very appropriate as we come up to Christmas, and that's the giving of gifts, and particularly the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You might like to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read and study this week and next the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit as mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I want you to recognize that there are far more than just 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay? In my studies of the New Testament, I've identified around 30 spiritual gifts, and I'm sure that there's a whole lot more than that, and there's probably a whole stack more in the Old Testament as well. And the fact is that God is infinite and eternal and ultimately creative, and he can do whatever he wants to do, with, of course, in the confines of his nature that he will never go against. But God can do lots and lots of things, and he can give lots and lots of gifts. And so what I don't want us in the study today and next week to restrict God in our thinking, but we're going to look at these 9 gifts just to kind of whet our appetite a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 1 to 11, and I'll make a couple of comments along the way. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. And so we're going to correct any ignorance that might be in this house today of spiritual gifts by teaching on this. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. What I want you to recognize here in this next verse is that the Trinity is actually actively involved in spiritual gifts. So there's different kinds of gifts of the same Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, referring to Jesus. There are different kinds of working, but the same God, speaking of the Father, works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, I've underlined that in my Bible. That is so important in the teaching here, that the gifts of the Spirit are given for the common good. Sometimes you hear of people, you know, they want to receive a spiritual gift because it's for them. Well, let me say loud and clear this morning, spiritual gifts are not for us as individuals. They are for others. All right, they're for the benefit of other people. So God might use you in a spiritual gift, but it's not to bless you, it's to bless people through you. All right, so it kind of blows away any sense of pride that we might have. You know, well, look at me, you know, I have a great healing gift, it's just wonderful. And it's not to bless you as a person or to puff you up as an individual, it's to bless other people through you. So the spiritual gifts are given to us for the common good, for the good of other people. Very important. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. Notice that's in the plural there, because there's many gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues or languages. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues, languages. And all these are the working of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to unpack your word this morning. As we open our Bibles, we also open our minds and our hearts to receive the word that you would speak into us today. May we be the richer for it. And not only that, Lord God, but may we be more open to be a blessing to others through this teaching today, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to divide these gifts into three categories, and this is often done. These gifts are, first of all, gifts of insight, and they're the ones that we're going to look at today. The gifts of insight are wisdom, knowledge, and distinguishing of spirits. The gifts of power, secondly, are gifts of faith, healing, and miracles. We'll look at those next week. And then the gifts of utterance, prophecy, tongues, interpretation. We may look at those next week or early in the new year if we run out of time next week. And what I want to say to you this morning is very important, and that is that most of these gifts are not, in fact, if not all of these gifts, are not restricted to church gatherings alone. All right? Sometimes we box God in and say, okay, well, now we've got a meeting, we've got a church service. It starts now, it finishes now, and we've got to have spiritual gifts in operation in this church service or in a home group or whatever. And they can operate. In fact, we've already had gifts operating in this service this morning, whether you've actually been aware of it or not. There's actually a spiritual gift operating right now because the Bible talks about the spiritual gift of a teacher. And I'm teaching you this morning, and a spiritual gift is actually taking place. In fact, it's one of the most important spiritual gifts. Later in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul does a ranking of gifts, and he puts teaching as the third most important gift in the church body. It's wonderful. But you know, spiritual gifts are not restricted to church meetings. You can be out in your community, doing your job, taking the kids to school, talking to one of the mums at school or whatever. Whoever has had one of these experiences where you've been talking to someone and then about halfway through the conversation, you're aware, you suddenly become aware that it's actually God speaking through you and not yourself. Who's had that kind of, all right, almost everyone in the congregation, you are operating a spiritual gift at that stage. It could be a message of knowledge, a message of wisdom, it could be a prophecy. But you're actually operating a gift. You see, we've over the years, and the charismatic movement over the 70s and 80s was absolutely wonderful, but one of its downfalls was that it boxed in God's gifts. And you had, so the gift of prophecy or the word of knowledge that was used for 5 minutes after a service. And that was its extent of its use, and that's such a shame. You know, and you always knew when a prophecy was coming because someone started to breathe heavily, and they would revert to King James English. Have you noticed that? Whenever God speaks, yea, verily, my people, thus saith the Lord, I saith unto thee, and off they go. And yeah, we don't need to box spiritual gifts in super spiritual language or covering. They are supernatural, not super spiritual. And that's what we need to emphasize. And you can be used as a channel of the Holy Spirit wherever you are, as long as you're open. I've told you on a number of occasions, my little saying, and I use it every morning as I'm driving out of the house and coming up here or wherever I'm going, I say, Lord, I am filled with the Holy Spirit and I'm open for business. Here we go, let's go. It's a new day, it's exciting, there's lots of stuff. And I know that in the course of the day, God can use me to speak into people's lives. And it's done in a supernatural way, not a super spiritual way. I had a couple come and see me during the week. They made a one-hour appointment. We were sitting in my office. They shared some challenges that they've got at the moment. And as we were talking, a good idea just kind of popped into my mind. And I shared it with them. And as I shared it with them, I became increasingly aware that it was actually a God idea rather than just a good idea. And these people went, yeah, wow, yeah, great. I hadn't even thought about that. That was really exciting. And you know, I didn't have to say, well, yea, verily, I have a word for you from the Lord, brother and sister, you know, and ooh, and, you know, start to shake and all that kind of thing. It was just done. We were sitting on a couch, you know, talking away, having a cup of tea and sharing. And it was a light went on in their mind and it changed their situation. And it was wonderful. It was absolutely exciting. And God wants to use you in that way. So exciting. And so don't think that the gifts of the Spirit are just for use here now. They're for use in your life at any time, at any moment, when you need them. And another thing is too, most of the gifts of the Spirit are not possessed by a person. They are actually gifts that belong to the Holy Spirit that He gives to you at the moment that you need it, but it doesn't necessarily reside within you. Very important. Because, you know, we start to deify people. You know, we talk about this great man of God who's got this healing ministry. Well, actually, what he has is an openness to be used by the Holy Spirit with the gift of healing. And he puts himself in a position on a regular basis of laying hands on the sick. And when he lays hands on them, the Holy Spirit comes upon him and the power of God is refracted through him into that person and it brings healing. But he doesn't possess the gift of healing. He's not a healer. God is the healer. He has the gift of healing and he uses it through an individual. And so we don't possess gifts, so we are used as a channel of the gift, and that's very important. So we need to deify God, not a human being. Very, very important truth. In the original language of 1 Corinthians 12, the picture given is actually of a prism or a gemstone. And as light comes upon a prism or a gemstone, it's refracted off into another direction. And that's what it's like with us and God. That's part of the laying on of hands. The Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then the power is refracted off from you into another person. And a healing takes place, a miracle takes place, a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom is uttered, or whatever the case might be. So they're all very important truths as background to this study today. So let's have a look at the gifts of insight. First of all, the gift of the message of wisdom is the first one we're going to have a look at. The message of wisdom, if you're looking at a King James or a New King James Bible, that's fine. It would be talking about a word of wisdom. New International talks about a message of wisdom. Wisdom, the message of wisdom is supernatural insight into the wisdom of God. That's a definition of this gift for you, all right, if you're taking notes this morning. Supernatural insight into the wisdom of God. Now, wisdom is one of those words that we use, but we don't often stop to think about what it means. Someone might come to you and say, well, what is wisdom? And you might say, well, that's when a person is really wise. And that's an amazing revelation. Thank you so much for that. Yeah. Well, what is wisdom? Have you ever stopped to think about what wisdom really, really is? Let me give you a definition of wisdom. Wisdom is knowing the best way to do something. See, it's different to knowledge. Some people have knowledge but no wisdom. So they have all the knowledge in the world. I had a teacher like that at school. Very, very knowledgeable man. Actually, he was mad as well. Mainly because I was in his class. But he was a knowledgeable man, but he had no way of communicating his knowledge. So he lacked wisdom. And we need both. And so wisdom is knowing the best way to do something. It has to do with decision making. The couple I referred to earlier that came to see me during the week, their main area that they wanted to talk about was direction for the future. And so what God gave me actually in that conversation, and I only actually realized it afterwards rather than actually in the middle of it, was a message of wisdom for these people. So a spiritual gift was operating. I had supernatural insight into the wisdom of God, and I was able to speak that into their lives to make a difference. And it's wonderful. We need to be open to that. Supernatural wisdom, supernatural insight into the wisdom of God, particularly in decision making. It's when you're in a situation and you don't know where you should go. It's one of those RACV moments. You know that advertising campaign that they ran there for a while? You know, what will we do now? Have you ever been in a moment like that? What am I going to do now? That's the time you need this spiritual gift, or you need someone around you who can be a channel of the Holy Spirit to get some supernatural insight into the wisdom of God to give you a download of what you need to do right now. It can really help you. It can be a shortcut. It's wonderful. The appointment of Georgina McGill to this church was a word of wisdom, a message of wisdom. It was one of those times, God, what are we going to do now? Georgina, what's wrong with Georgina? I don't know, Lord. You still haven't told me what's wrong with Georgina. So that's the message of wisdom. Acts chapter 15 is your reference for that if you're taking notes this morning. The Council of Jerusalem. The early disciples were having quite a problem. The Gentiles were getting saved, and there were Jewish believers going around telling all the Gentile believers that they had to be circumcised if they were to be believers in Jesus Christ, if they wanted to be Christians. Now, of course, that's not a big deal unless you're not circumcised. They really needed to know the answer to this because this was very important. So the disciples got together to discuss it, and then right in the midst of that discussion, James stands up and has a word of wisdom. And everyone else sits around and goes, oh, yeah. That makes so much sense. You can read it for yourself in Acts chapter 15. It was one of those wow moments. The light came on in the disciples. They all agreed together that this was the way to go. They went that way. The Jews were happy. The Gentiles was happy. The church grew. And it was all out of a word of wisdom. And so that's the word or the message of wisdom. The second one is the message of knowledge. And that is supernatural insight into the knowledge of God. All right? The first one, supernatural insight into the wisdom of God. This one is supernatural insight into the knowledge of God. That is knowing something that naturally you would have no way of knowing. Again, it's one of those moments where you're in a conversation with somebody and you start to speak and you know that suddenly this is God, not you. And you know that because it's more intelligent than you are. You have one of those moments where you go, wow, where did I learn this? And the answer is you didn't learn it from anywhere at any time. You've just had a gift of the Holy Spirit and He has quickened something to your mind and you're speaking it out and the person is looking at you, receiving what you're saying, and it's a supernatural insight into the knowledge of God. It's a wonderful thing, particularly if you are counseling somebody or if you are in a situation where you need to know something that you don't know. Peter had such a situation in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus comes to Peter and to his disciples and he says to them, "Who are men saying that I am?" In other words, he wanted to know what people were saying about him. Who did they identify him as? And the disciples come up with a number of answers. You know, they say, "Well, you're Jeremiah the prophet," and blah, 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 and run through a number of different things. And then he turns the question around a little and he said, "Okay, forget about everybody else. What about you guys? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter spoke up as he normally did. And he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus' response to him is very interesting. In Matthew 16 and verse 17, he says, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you, Peter." That is a message of knowledge. Flesh and blood doesn't reveal something to you. It is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God to your spirit where you know something that ordinarily you would have no way of knowing. Now, I want to say a couple of things in regard to this gift of what it's not. It's first of all, it's not the gift of suspicion. That's very important, you know, because sometimes Christians are very good at operating the gift of suspicion. They suspect something about you. And then they'll come to you in this flowery, super spiritual language as if it were a word from God, but actually it's just a word of suspicion. All right, you don't need to receive that in Jesus' name. And the other thing that you don't receive is a word of general knowledge. All right? It's a word of knowledge that you want, not a word of general knowledge. You know, it's like, yeah, right, yeah, everyone knew that anyway, and you try to tell me you got that from God. No, this is something that's supernatural. This is insight of the knowledge of God, of something that you and nobody else would have any way of knowing. And it's happened to me from time to time. It's probably one of the most dramatic times that I've experienced. This was actually a number of years ago when I was counseling a lady who was going through a drug dependency. And I would see her on a fairly regular basis. I don't do much, if any, counseling these days because I really don't enjoy counseling that much. And we've got other people around who do it. But it was back in the days when I was it. So I had this lady in my office and we were talking away and about the whole drug thing and everything. And she came to see me one day and I said to her, "How are you going with your drug dependency? Have you touched any drugs lately?" And she looked at me and she said, "No, I haven't." And right then I had this word of knowledge and God told me and I spoke out at the same time, "Well, actually, you have used drugs and in fact you bought some drugs the other day and you were sold them as well." And I was more amazed than she was, I think. And she just sat back and she looked at me and she said, "Well, yeah, you're right. How did you know about that?" And I said, "Well, I actually didn't know about that, but I had a word of knowledge." And you'll normally come out with something like that and you'll be more surprised than they are. And it'll come out before you even are actually aware of, you're halfway through and you can't take the words back. And that's a word of knowledge. All right, it can be a little scary sometimes. But it's also a shortcut. Because particularly in a situation like that, you see, one thing I've discovered over the years, especially with druggies, they're liars. I know because I were one. But I tell the truth now because I'm not a druggie anymore. You'll be glad to know. But they lie. They cover up. And so what you need in a situation like that is you need the knowledge of God. And the message of knowledge or the word of knowledge is a great gift in situations like that. Okay, thirdly and finally this morning, the distinguishing between spirits. As it's talked about in the New International Version, the older translations call it the discerning of spirits. And this again is supernatural insight, but this time it's supernatural insight into the spirit realm to determine its source. Very important. You see, spiritual things don't just come from God. There are a number of spiritual sources around us, and we need to determine the source of a particular thing or a particular person or words. See, sometimes things sound so great. One of the best examples in Scripture is when Mary came and she broke that alabaster box of ointment over Jesus, and Judas got really uptight. And he said, "Why this waste? Why wasn't this ointment sold and the money given to the poor?" Now that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Well, what a man of God Judas is. You know, what a heart for the poor Judas has. What an amazing man. You'd really want to follow someone like that, wouldn't you? If you had a Judas Iscariot on the church roll at Bayside, you know, and this man's got such a heart for the poor. He's got a mercy gift. Everyone just loves Judas because he's got such a great heart. But if you operated the distinguishing between spirits, you'd be able to look into this man's life and you would actually see that his motivation is all wrong. In fact, the Bible goes on in that passage and it says, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he was stealing from the treasury. See, what Judas actually wanted was for that ointment to be sold and the money to be put into the treasury so he could steal it. Aha! Puts a whole new different thing on it. If Judas Iscariot was hanging around Bayside Church and there were people here that operate the gift of the distinguishing between spirits, we wouldn't think Judas was a great guy. We'd think he was a thief. He was a rip-off merchant because that's what he really was. And so this gift is great. It helps you to discern the spiritual source of something. Is it from God? Is it demonic? Is it angelic? Or is it from a human spirit? And it's very important that we're able to determine those. Turn to Acts chapter 16, if you would. And let's read about this spiritual gift of distinguishing between spirits. This is an amazing story. Acts chapter 16, and we'll read verse 17 to start with, and then we'll go back and read it in context. Verse 17, first of all, it talks about this girl who followed Paul and the rest of the apostles or disciples, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Now, you'd think that that would be fantastic, you know. She was free, didn't even have to pay her. She was following them around, announcing their arrival. "Hey, everybody, these men, they're servants of the Most High God. They're going to tell you the way to be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul the Apostle." Da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, and you'd think that that would be great. You know, and Paul would say, "Hey, thanks very much. You can now step aside and I'll preach the gospel." But look at the motivation that she was coming from, the spiritual source of her words. In verse 16, "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling." Puts a whole different slant on it, doesn't it? If Paul didn't operate this gift, now maybe he didn't operate it immediately, because as you go on, he actually waited to deal with this. "This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the spirit left her." Interesting story. Did Paul operate the gift of the distinguishing of spirits a little bit late in that case? I don't know. Maybe he just wasn't a demon chaser. Little food for thought. But one thing we know is that eventually he saw the spirit that was actually behind those words, turned around and dealt with it in the name of Jesus. It was dealt with and they moved on. Interesting story. Read the rest of it in your own devotional life. And so we've got those three gifts. The gift of the message of wisdom, the message of knowledge, and the distinguishing between spirits. We'll have a look at the rest of the gifts, or as many as we can, in the time that we have next weekend.